All right, so we'll start. We're looking at Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadi Dalid Amud Aleph, 94. This is the last daf of the parak that we're in, the parak HaSocher et HaPoalim, which is all about relationships between employers and employees. Very, very fascinating parak. Talks all about all kinds of things about how, yeah, how much they get to eat. Basically, it's mostly about how much they get to eat while they're working. That's what most of the parak is about. Yeah, yeah. How much they get to eat while they're working your field.
And drinking as well.
And no, not so much drinking.
It's amazing that we wrote this down thousands of years ago. I don't think the Goyim have anything.
Sharia law? I don't know. Yeah, nothing. Nothing. Well, I mean. Yeah, it's called. I mean, what do you mean? The Goyim have law books. What do you mean?
They have law books from 2,000 years ago?
No.
No, they had.
But the Senate. I'm sure the Roman Senate had law books. Not like this, but.
How much you meant to feed you?
I don't think they were doing it the Shema. They were doing it the Shema.
Rights was a key issue for the Roman Senate of slavery.
Values and society.
No.
When you've got slaves in
no, what's fascinating is the parak talks about there's machlokas. I thought about doing that daf instead of this one. Machlokas about there's an assumption that workers get to eat while they're working. And the question is that part of his salary, meaning it's a right that he receives from the owner, from the Bala Sadeh, or does that come from God? Is that God who demands that he be fed? There's a fascinating, really, really fascinating Gemara about that, and different mafkaminas about what that works and whether or not he has the right to give. Can he? You know, I heard that Amdocs used to have the best spread at lunch.
Yes, they
right. That's
do.
What I heard.
And they still do.
But more than that, you could have as much as you wanted, and people used to take advantage. And
Does
people used. People used to take advantage. They used to go there, and at the end of the day, they go to the cafeteria and take food to take home for dinner.
Wow.
So this was part of the machlokas. Are you allowed to take food for your family? If it's part of your salary, then maybe yes. If it's not, if it's God that gives it to you, then no. Maybe he only gives it to you. It's just a fascinating meaning. Or can you take food for your family instead of yourself? Really fascinating.
God's given it to you.
Meaning, if it's a God-given right that your owner has to give you food, like, it's the difference between whether or not it's in your contract that you get off on Yom HaTzmaut, or whether it's the state that gives you off on Yom HaTzmaut.
I get off on Yom HaTzmaut and get paid for it.
Like, for example, I just an example, taking that analogy. What if I decide I don't want to take off on Yom HaTzmaut, I'd rather replace it with another day? My guess is, if it's the state that gives you, you can't do that. Because it's not your company that gave you the day off, it's the state that gives you the day off.
No,
whereas if it's the company that gives you the day off, maybe you can say to the company, I don't want to work this day.
Whether it's a mitzvah or it's in the contract, the person has to, if it's a mitzvah, then the person has no choice, he has to give you food, right?
It's not even him giving it to you, it's yours. Meaning, if it's God that gives it to you, we're not doing this again, but if it's God that gives it to you, it's not even the Baal that's giving it to you, it's you're allowed to eat it because you have a right, God-given right, to that food.
Okay.
We're not even doing that, but it was just fascinating.
Just a quick aside, in South Africa, there's a very controversial practice in the apartheid era of giving the guards who worked in the vineyards paying them in wine.
Okay.
Part of their pay was basically getting drunk at that farm.
Yeah.
That's it.
Ah, but it wasn't good. You're saying it wasn't good.
It wasn't part of its fine.
And Friday night,
Friday night,
come get his pay, and then come buy a drink and get drunk on a Friday.
Okay, so let's do the Mishnah. All right, Masnisen at the top of the page. Masnisen. It's a short Gemara. Masnisen. Matne shomer chinam lios pater mishvua. We literally just started. You know what? I'm going to read the first sentence again. Masna shomer chinam liospater mishua vashoal liospater milishalim. No se sachar vasorch liospater mishua umilishalim. All right. This is one long statement. Let's just recap. We have four different kinds of watchers, right? In halacha. Everybody remember what the four different kinds of watchers are? So a shomer chinam, a shomer sachar, a shoal, and a Sakhir, right? So you have a Shomer Chinam who is, you know, that he's the most kal of them all. He just says, you know, will you watch this for me? Yes, sure, I'll watch it for you. That's all. Shomer Sakhar is, will you watch this for me? I'll pay you for it. Sakhir is, Let's do Shoel. Shoel is, can I please borrow that for, you know, for free? Can I borrow that? And then a Shoel is, can I please rent that? And each one... Sachir is, can I rent that? And each one has its degree of responsibility, liability, on the part of the person watching the thing. Obviously, which one is the least liable?
The Shomer Chinam
is the least liable. He is only liable for Pshia, if he does something bad to the object. In other words, if he takes, you say, can you watch the phone for me? Sure. That you're chayav for. Anything short of that, though, if it gets stolen, if it gets broken, through no fault of your own, you're not chayav for that. Okay? Ones, gneva, you're not chayav for that. A shoel is the most liable, because he doesn't pay at all, and he's using the object. Okay, so he's going to be chayav for everything. And a shomer sachar and a schir. So there's a machlokes about about what each one is, but they're in the middle over there. Okay, so they're going to be liable for geneva and aveda, but not for onus. And obviously they're going to be liable for pshia. Okay, so now the Mishnah says, what happens if when I take upon myself that responsibility, I make a tnai, I make a condition, and I say, for each one is different. Shomer Chinam says, pater mishvua. It's true that a Shomer Chinam is pater from everything, but if you suspect that it's pshia, he has to at least swear, you show up and the object is broken, he has to swear that he wasn't pushea. And then he's free to go. He just has to swear.
Does he just have to give a shvua if it's onus?
We don't know what it was, so that's why he has to give the shuvah that it was.
In any situation, he would need to give a shuvah.
Exactly, or not to be pater. Yeah.
A shuvah to who? To somebody or to a beitin?
He could do it, I think, outside of beitin, if I remember correctly. He doesn't have to do it in front of beitin, but he has to take the shuvah, and then he's scot free.
Right.
That's all he has to do. But yes, not everybody wants to take a shuvah. So the Shomer Chinam says, I don't have to take a shuvah if something happens to it. Okay. Meaning, if he claims that it was stolen or that it was broken through no fault of his own, we just believe him. And that's it. He goes off. The Shoel takes a shvua that he's pater milashalem. Okay? So that means that if something bad happens, basically, he's not allowed to take a shvua. There's no shvua for him to take because he's going to be chayav for gneva and aveda. So he just takes, he just says, I watch it, but I'm not going to be responsible.
It's the shoel, so I'm borrowing it for my own use, but I'm not going to be responsible for it.
Yes. Pater mi l'shala. Yeah. No se sachar v'asorcher li upturn mi shvua umi l'shala. Sometimes they can take a shvua and they'll be free, and sometimes they have to pay, and they want to take a tnai that basically everybody's going to drop down to the level of shomer chinam.
I didn't understand the shvua.
Logic.
Yeah.
What logic? He just takes a shvua that he doesn't take a shvua. He makes a tnai with the owner. He says, I want to borrow this, but on condition that I'm not going to be chayiv if anything happens to it. Maybe it's chutzpah, maybe it's not, but that's the tnai he makes.
I know your car's about to die. We all know your car's 45 years old. I'm going to borrow it on the basis that I'm happy to borrow it, but if it dies, you knew it was going to die any day anyway.
But what about if he's done something to it?
Good, excellent. Hold off. So, but in regular cases, he's going to be, all of them are going to be pater, they're going to be pater from Shvua, they're going to be pater milashalim, it all works. Then the Mishnah says, Kol matna mashakasa b'torah, tno'o batel. So, what are the rules about this in general? So, generally speaking, if you make a tnai that goes against the Torah, this is a new clause. Generally speaking, if you make a tnai that goes against the Torah, the tnai is batel, and the Mishnah and the words the Mishnah doesn't use, but what is the case is maaseh kayam. Okay, in other words,
the raisa halacha, against
the raisa halacha. Yes. We'll see an example of this in the Gemara. But let's just say the statement out loud again. If you say I want to be, let's say for example, I'll give you an example that the Gemara doesn't give. Okay, I want to be. We actually talked about this. I want to be a nazir, but I want to be able to drink wine.
Okay.
So guess what happens?
You're not a nazir.
You are a nazir, and you're not allowed to drink wine. No, what pater? You're chayef. You become a full-blown Nazir.
I'm saying the
Shrua
is
Batel. The Shrua is Batel. I thought you said Pater. Yeah. Tnao Batel, Maise Kayam. Okay? In other words, we ignore the Tnai that you made, and you're now a Nazir. Right? That's one example. The Gemara is going to give a different example. That's one rule. Here's another rule. Kol Tnai Sheyesh Maaseh B'Tchilato, Tnao Batel. Any time where you have a situation where you mentioned the Maaseh first, and the Tnai afterwards, it's going to be Batel. I just gave you Rashi's version. Let's look at what Rashi says. I say that because somebody disagrees with him, right? Rashi says, Tnai sheyesh b'mas v'tchilata, Rashi says, Shehikti ma'aseh she'alav la'asos l'tnai, shehu shol mimenu kigom. Here you go. Harim ma'aseh zeh shelcha, im ta'aseh davar ploni. Okay? So you said, this is going to happen if you do that. What should you have done? You should have said,
if you do that,
then this will happen. You made a mistake. You did it out of order. Guess what happens?
Can you explain?
What? Rashi explains why. So let's just read why. He says, this is the case for all of these examples. Right? What did Moshe tell Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven? Said, if you go over, then I will give it to you. What if you would have said, I'll give it to you if you go over? Then that would have changed the rules. It would have counted because he said it. But because he said it the other way, okay, it means that the other way doesn't count.
This is so with children.
That's called Tanai Begadu Bnei Reuven, which all Tanayim are governed by Tanai Bnei Gadu Bnei Reuven. However Moshe made his Tanayim with Bnei Gadu, it's the source for Tanayim in the Torah, and we always have to follow how Moshe did that. He put the Tanai first, and then the Maisa.
So he said, you have to fight if you want that.
What?
You have to fight if you want the land.
Yes. He said, if you go over and fight, then you can have the land. Maybe we'll be able to explain what the logic might be. But for now, we need to take it as a Xeris HaKatzav. As a general, formal rule, we have to follow.
To come back to the Shomer, he's saying, if I lose it, I won't take a Shavuot.
Well, as I said, this is a new clause. This is a new clause. Whether or not this applies to Shomer and Shoah, we're going to have to revisit because this is definitely a new clause.
But how would you have to construct it so it's even comparable?
If it were to work like that, so you would say, if I'm not Chayav, then I will be a Shoah. That's how it would work.
If you agree, if I want to be Chayav.
Rashi says, "Im ta'aseli adavar ze ashuva eretzoncha haynu tnai she shoel mimenu kodem lemaase shalav laasot." Okay.
Tonight.
That's what the Mishnah says. V'chol tnai sheish maase b'tchilato tnao batel u'maisa kaya. Those are the words that don't show up. Last clause. V'chol shef shalav lakayim abesofo v'tnei mo mitchilato tnao kaya. Here it tells you something in the positive, and we have to infer the negative. The Mishnah says, if it's possible for the Tanai to occur,
so it's not against
the then, but even more than that, if like physically possible, if it's physically possible for it to occur, then the Tanai is Kayam. Then the Tanai counts, and we evaluate it. But if it's impossible that the Tanai should ever happen, guess what? We cancel the Tanai, and the Mai says once again, Kaya. Rashi says, "Im tnao kodem l'masehu, efshar l'kaimo tnao batel v'hamase kayam." But more farishla. Rashi says, "Go look at the Gemara to figure out what's going on over here, to figure out what the case is." Okay, but what do we have? We have the four shomrim who can make tanaim in order to remove their liability, each one according to its darga, and then we have three rules about tanaim in general. One. If you make a Tanai that goes against a law of the Torah, it doesn't count, and the Maisa is Kayam. Two, if you make a Tanai only after you mention the Maisa that you're effectuating, then once again the Tanai is Batel, the Maisa is Kayam. And number three, if you make a Tanai which is impossible to happen, the Tanai is going to be Batel, and your Maaseh is Kayam. Those are the rules of the Mishnah. All right, I'm sure we have questions.
The rules are meant to impact on the... the introductory statement.
Well, let's see. So the mission is, the Gemara says as follows. Am I? This is exactly Matthew's question. Right off the bat, we have a stira in the Mishnah. Because the beginning of the Mishnah says, the beginning of the Mishnah says that you're allowed to make a Tanai that removes the liability that the Torah forces upon you, right? The Torah says that Shomer Chinam is chayav lakachat shvua. If something happens to the object, then he claims that it was stolen, right? The Torah says that, and he can make a tanai that says that he doesn't have to. Amai matna mashakasu b'toru v'chol matna mashakasu b'toru tano batel. All right. So the Gemara says, first of all, hamani. What does hamani mean?
Where?
No. Who? Who says this? Ha-money. All this, who is the author of our Mishnah? Generally speaking, what rules do we have about who the author of Mishnayos are?
Rabbi Meir.
Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir. Okay? Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, ha-money, Rabbi Yehudahi. We think it's Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to have to figure out why. D'amar b'davar.
Because we never go according to Rabbi Yehuda.
What?
Never go,
no, sometimes we go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah. In fact,
yeah. What's enough to mean if it's Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi?
Well, we want to figure it out because it matters. We're going to see why it matters. Hamani, Rabbi Yehuda. It matters because it may help us answer this question. We have to figure out what's going on with the beginning of the Mishnah and the rest of the Mishnah. Hamani, Rabbi Yehuda. Damar bedavar shebemamon t'no kayim. There you go. D'tanya haomer leisha hariat mekudeshet li. Amanat she'en lecha lai shar ksus va'ona hareza mikudeshas utna ubatal de Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer b'davar shebemamon t'nai kayam. So let's pick this apart, right? They quote a braisa or a mishnah.
Braisa.
How do you know?
The Tanya.
Well, how does that tell you that's a braisa? Because it's only got one nun. Good. Only got one nun, so it's a braisa.
Two nuns would be mishnah.
Yeah, 100%.
I've been to shiva before. Occasionally, I remember something.
one nun means it's a brisa. Two nuns means it's a mishnah. So, what happens in this brisa? So, this brisa is talking about the case that I didn't want to say before because I wanted to save it for the Gemara. What happens if a man says to a woman, "Arad b'kudeshas li," but with a condition that I don't have to worry about sherksus and ona? What are sherksus and ona? I don't have to clothe you, I don't have to shelter you, and I don't have to engage in marital relations with you. The three things that a man is obligated to do for his wife. Those are the three obligations a man has to do to his wife.
D'oraisa.
For all the other benefits.
Don't know.
Money.
I don't know. Social standing? I have no idea. Yeah. Or at least,
Megan and,
maybe I'll do it when I want to, but I'm not obligated. Yeah. Maybe. Who knows?
Huh? No, so in other words, is that binding?
There's stamp collecting, and then there's...
So you're asking, would that be binding? Because it's just like the so Nazir. It's like the Nazir who says, I'm going to be able Nazir, to drink but wine. I'm going to have, you know, some Merlot.
Exactly. So this man says, I'm going to marry you, but I'm not going to follow any of the obligations that the Torah puts upon me. So Rabbi Meir says, no dice. What does that mean, though? That means that he's married, and he has the conditions. The conditions he has to follow them.
But wait a minute. Can I ask you a question? The way he formulated it is also wrong according to the Mishnah, isn't it?
I noticed that too. I noticed that too.
Isn't it a mekach?
I thought that was the point I was going
to
say.
I noticed that too. What?
No, but wait a minute.
Isn't it a mekach taos?
Yeah.
You know, kedushay taos, but why? Why taos? She knows everything. You're saying like that?
Yeah.
There are lots of things in the Torah that are the moment.
You would say that for all cases where a person... No, because he knows what he's saying when he says that. If he says, Sharksasun, he knows what he's saying. Yeah.
No, but can I ask you a question? When a man puts the ring on the Harei Mekadeshet Li, and he says the whole thing, and she's Mekabelet, they're married. You know,
well, they're okay. Mekadeshet.
Suppose they both have a mind that they're not going to, you know, do those other...
That's up to them. If she doesn't, she can be mochalat. If they say at the outset, you know, we're not going to do this, and she says that's fine with me.
But that's okay. The difference between a nazir in this case, because a nazir it's like one person.
Interesting point. We'll perhaps return to that later.
But the example with Gad and Reuven is also somewhat financial. He's giving them property. This part.
I don't think Moshe was saying, I will transfer the ownership of the land to you if you do this. Because, first of all, according to some traditions, Menashe already owned that land. But anyways, I don't think Moshe... I never got that sense that it was a property deal. No, he was telling them, you can stay here.
Once you've come in.
the issue of mumming in the Torah, as far as I know.
And then you won't die.
It has a really strong, some reason, it's much stronger than, say, Talmud Torah or Kibbud Ov Va'Em.
That what?
Like, if you have a monetary agreement with somebody, it's stronger than your Machiavut, say, to learn Torah.
What?
Is it? I mean,
if you Kibbud Ov Va'Em, what do you say is stronger? Kibbud Ov Va'Em or learning Torah?
Kibbud,
so
this is really off subject.
I'll
tell you
after. It's very off subject. Let's carry on. So you have this brisa. So Rabbi Meir says, guess what? You made a mistake, and now you're married, and there's nothing you can do about it. Rabbi Yehuda, though, says, no. Rabbi Yehuda says, sorry, V'davar shebamamon t'no kayam. Now, what does he mean over here? It's going to get so much chauvinistic. What does he mean over here?
It's all mammon.
This is mammon. Now, Rashi says, interestingly, what does Rashi say? Look what Rashi says, B'davar shebamamon. Right? Because those are the only things that are actually mammon, right? Sharing ksus means I'm going to pay for your shelter and the clothing. Where does that leave us for Ona? So we don't know. Rashi is silent on that. I remember I saw something, but I don't remember what I saw. So Rashi's basically saying you don't have to pay Sharon Ksus. You do have to pay. You have to do Ona. In other words, you succeeded. You succeeded 2 out of 3.
Two out of three ain't bad.
You got 2 out of 3. You don't have to pay her Sharon Ksus. Why? Because those are money obligations. Now, why does this help us? Good. Now we have Rabbi Yehuda Shita that when it comes to money issues, Tnai is not Batel even if it's against the Torah. How does that help us?
It doesn't matter what order it appears in the before or after the obligation.
Perhaps.
Because it's after.
Yeah, I see that. How does this help us, though? Why is that good? How does this help us? So now Rabbi Yehuda, now we know Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Tnai on a Davar Shebamamon, even if it's against the Torah, is not Batel. So now we can safely say that the author of our Mishnah must be Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Meir. Because now we can say, oh, the Shomer Chinam, the Shomer Sachar, and the Shoel, and the Sachir, is that a Davar Shebamamon?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Davar Shebamamon. Did they make a Tanai against the Torah?
Yeah.
They did, but who? But that's okay if you hold like
Rabbi Yehuda.
If you hold like Rabbi Meir, you're in trouble. Yeah. What?
Ah, so it's all consistent. The principles afterwards are talking about everything other than Mammon.
Right. Right.
So the cases and the principles are...
It's Rabbi Yehuda. Yeah, it's Rabbi Yehuda all the way. Rabbi Yehuda says...
The Shavua, if he's making some kind of promise or whatever else, and it's got a Dvar Shavua...
He's saying, I'm going to borrow this, but I'm not going to follow the rules of the Torah about whether or not I have to pay you back if something goes wrong. That's a financial matter. Right?
But it's in the wrong order.
Let's say even if he said it in the right order, it doesn't matter. The point is, it's a Tanai against the Torah. Rabbi Meir would say, flag on the play, red card... But Rabbi Yehuda would say, that's fine, because it's a Davar Shebamamon. Okay? That is stage one.
Aren't the other cases of what the Shomer does? All they're all Divrei Mamonos, aren't they?
Yeah.
So what would be a case of...
Where there's something that's not
Mamonos? Oh, it would be Tanai or something
Ona.
That's not of a Shomer.
Yeah, Ona. Okay, over here, yeah. Right? Rabbi Yehuda still says you have to do Ona.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a really silly... example or whatever else, but if someone puts a tnai, you know, I need you to do something, or you know, you make sure to do something for money or whatever else on Yom Kippur or on Shabbat or whatever else, that fails because you see
you mean like for example Shemitah or Ona'a. You say I will sell you this, I will buy that object for you from you for more than a sixth extra over its price. Almanat that there is no ona'a here, right? So that doesn't work. That doesn't work. However, if you were to say, and I am mocha on the ona'a, then it would work. But that's a separate story. But to say it's
because
not ona'a.
The principle of Torah or whatever else you still can't do.
Yeah. Now, and whether we hold like Rabbi Yehuda is up for debate, right? So that's Rabbi Yehuda. But then the Gemara says, wait a second though. But can we really say that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda? After all, Ema Sefer, call Mas Nama Shekos of the Torah, Tano Batel. So it says, but the end of the Mishnah doesn't discriminate. It just says, call Mas Nama Shekos of the Torah, Tano Batel. And that was something that was, at least those words, attributed to Rabbi Meir in the Braisa, right? That was Rabbi Meir's line. That was his line in the Braisa. He only said one thing and that was it. Now I know, we could have said, okay, so there's words missing in the Mishnah. The words missing are, except for, Davashe B'mama. But the Gemara says, Atan Rabbi Meir. That sounds like Rabbi Meir, because that's exactly what he says in the Braita. So the Gemara says, Halukashe, L'olam Riyuti V'seifa B'davashe N'shalmaman. Excellent. The Gemara says, add those words. It is Rabbi Huda, and the end of the Mishnah is talking about things that are not Davashe B'mama. Exactly what we wanted it to do. All right, feel better. So then it says, Ema Seifa Kol T'nai She'esh B'masa B'tchilaso T'nao Batel. But wait a second. There's another line at the end of the Mishnah, which is that if you do Ma'aseh B'tchila, then it's Batel, then the Tanai is Batel. Man Shamatele De'isle HaSvara. Who came up with that idea? I'm going to give you three guesses who came up with that idea. Rabbi Meir. D'Tanya, the Braisa says, Abba Chalavta Ish Kfar Chananya, Amar Mishum Rabbi Meir, Abba Chalavta quoted Rabbi Meir, T'nai kodom l'masa, raise a T'nai, Masa kodom l'T'nai, Eino T'nai.
But maybe Rabbi Huda held the same, but not under Rabbi Meir.
I would have said that as well. Let's keep going and see what happens. I would have said that as well. But it is attributed to Rabbi Meir, and it seems like Rabbi Meir alone. T'nai kodom l'masa, raise a T'nai, Ella kula Rabbi Meir, but now we're in trouble again because now we have to explain the beginning of the Mishnah. How could it be that the Shomer and the Shoel and the Shom and all those people that they're allowed to make a T'nai that goes against the laws of the Torah? V'shani hacha de meikara lo shi'ibad nafshei. What does that mean?
There's something about lending, the actual lending of something is a kind of shia wood. There's actually already a transfer.
So here it says, lo shia mikara. Mikara means at the beginning, meaning originally. Lo shia bad nafshe. He did not, what's the proper?
Submit.
Yeah, what's the proper English term for shia bad? Yeah. I know, but how do you, the verb. Obligate himself. He did not obligate it. He did not yet obligated himself. Okay? So how does this help us? What does that mean?
It seems different to a case of something like ribbit, which in and of itself is not allowed to exist. So here you're not transgressing something that's in and of itself. So if you have two, the other person has to agree to it. I'm not going to leave it with Simon if he said, I'm going to keep it on tonight, I'm not responsible. I can choose not to leave it with him. You haven't broken an issue of rivet or it doesn't feel like you really transgress something if you've got willing buyer and seller or willing parties. I cannot, if I don't like this tonight, I don't have to leave it with it.
Let me put it in a different way, Ray. I think this is what you're saying. We say there are four shomrim, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So does that mean that every single financial transaction or deal I make with anybody must fall into and perfectly conform to one of those four models? Is it really the case that in 2018, every single financial transaction that Jews take with each other or deals that we make with each other always falls into those four models and is always governed exactly by those rules and cannot be otherwise? Do we really think that a shomer who takes upon himself the requirement to watch something, does that mean he can't change the rules of his watching, and that it's an avera if he does?
No, but there's no case where if the shomer chinam who has got the least obligation is still obligated if he does something intentionally, he damages, right? That means everyone is. So there's no case where someone isn't responsible for being the one to damage intentionally the other guy's possession.
No, what if he made it tonight at the beginning and said, at some point, I may just drop this thing on purpose and break it. Is that going to count?
Well, I don't lock my door.
Is that Pshia? Maybe it's Pshia. I don't know. Maybe it's Pshia. I'm going to put, I'll give you a good example, right? I watch your phone, and I'm telling you right now, this afternoon, I plan on going to the cafe, and when I go to the bathroom, I don't like having anything in my pockets, so I'm just going to leave it on the table. I'm just warning you now, I'm going to do that. That's pretty much Shia. I don't think it's Geneva. You left the phone out. Somebody could take it, could fall over, right? Or I'm going hiking. And I'm taking the phone with me, and I'm planning on going swimming, and I'm going to take the phone. Can you make a condition and say, I don't want to be responsible? Can you?
You can.
You think so?
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Well, because
yeah.
The difference is that if...
Forgiving this, you are not.
And I was... When you make a Shavua or something like that, then when your statement alone changes the situation, right? With the Harei Mekudesh Et Li or whatever else, that statement, well, question whether she needs to agree or how she needs to agree or whatever else, but it has a power in itself. Mm-hmm. When you make a Shavua or whatever else, become a Nazir or whatever else, that statement has power in itself.
Yeah.
When you're entering into a contract with someone for them to basically be your Shomayer of some form or another, you have to agree. So however stupid the condition that I put at the end, I'm going hiking, but I'm going to take it swimming with the phone swimming with me or whatever else, if you say yes, then those are the terms. No one forced you, which is why maybe the condition can still come afterwards.
Becoming a Nazir is a thing. A Nazir is a model that the Torah creates, and it carries with its obligations. And you can't change the existence of a Nazir. Becoming a Shomer is something that the Torah gave you, perhaps the Torah gave you an example of a possible model, of a Stam model. If I just say I'm a Shomer, Stam Shomer, those are the rules. But who said that it's not malleable and can't be changed?
Popular, likely models, and that's why we give
exactly.
But that's also what I asked you earlier, whether it's based on a pasuk. Like, because if you said, look, I'll borrow money from you on condition I can pay back with rivet, that feels wrong because it is over a specific derivative pasuk.
Exactly.
I'll be a Nazir, but I'll drink wine. Yeah, but whereas I'll borrow this from you, or I'll lend this to you, but you, and you tell me it's funded. I can't find the passage that I think you're in breach of.
Right.
I missed something. It's in breach of halacha, but not...
Exactly. So here, that's what this is. Lo shiyah v'nafshei meikara. I didn't say, there's nowhere that says that I, once I'm a shomer, I have to do this. I can make a deal beforehand and say, I'm only accepting this on condition that.
Yeah, what I wanted to throw in that everybody's talking about, there's a situation where there's an agreement, I guess, between two people, and with the Nazir, it's himself and God. In other words, these agreements are between two people, no matter what, if it's a Chatan and Kala, if it's two businessmen or whatever.
Right.
That's whatever happens between them, it's their business.
Right.
But when you're talking about a Nazir, it's between him and God, and that's a different story.
Right, I agree. So now you have Machlokes in Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda about other cases, right? So let's say there's on one side of the spectrum is cases where it's completely monetary, where even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you can make whatever deal you want. You can say whatever you want. Shomer Chino, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir agree with that. Then you have on the other side of the spectrum things like Ona and a Nazir, where you can't make any conditions at all. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees you can't make conditions about those things. And then you have a gray area in between where it's monetary obligations, but in a defined model like Kiddushin, where to some degree you're entering into a deal with the wife, where you say, I'm going to do this for you, and she has obligations towards you. So with the non-monetary obligations, you have no leeway. It's like, oh no, there's nothing to talk about. But with the monetary obligations, you can say, I'm not going to give you share ksus, and she says, okay, and I'm not going to give you ma'aseh yadai. Right? If I work, if she works, then the money goes to the husband. That's how it's supposed to work. So you can make those kinds of deals with that. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir says you can't even make those deals at all. Okay. Now, let's continue in the Gemara. Tana, Brisa says, Umatne shomer sachar liot kishoel. A shomer sachar is able to make a condition that he wants to be like a shoel. What's strange about this? He's increasing his liability, right? A shomer sachar doesn't have to take a shvua to prove that he didn't do that it wasn't onus, right? So, but a shoel does, and now he's increasing his liability, and the Mishnah says, and the Braisa says, he is allowed to. B'mai b'dvarim. How does he do that? Just with words. He just says it. He says, I want to be... Sorry, b'mai b'dvarim. Rashi says b'tmiya. Surprise. He does that with words. Amar Shmuel b'shakano miyado. So at first the Gemara finds it strange that he should be able to do it just by saying so. All right, I'm going to be a shoal. So Rabbi, so Shmuel says, no, he has to make a kinyan on that. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Tema B'Shol Kanim Yado B'Hai Ano De Kanafik LeKala To Inish Mehemna Hu Gamer Meshabed Nafshe. And now this is cool. Rabbi Yochanan shows us first of all why he doesn't have to do it with a kinyan, and also why he might want to do it. Right? We're all wondering why would somebody want to go from Shomer Chinah Shomer Sachar to Shoel. So Rabbi Yochanan gives the answer. Because what happens if you do that? What happens if you do that is that you become trustworthy. Why? Because you announce to everybody, I just became a shoel, even though you're gonna get paid. You're gonna become like a shoel. I am agreeing that I'm gonna have to take a shvua if anything happens, and I want to claim that it's onus. I'm gonna take a shvua. The only benefit you get there is that you increase your reputation. Maybe you want to start a business of being a shoel. So you say, my business. We agree to take a shvua on onus. So you actually gain something. So that's the benefit that you get, so that you're able to take upon yourself that extra liability. Just a very interesting idea.
Why does Shomer Sachar not need to swear? Because he's being paid, it's assumed he wouldn't have done the damage? Or what? Why wouldn't he have to swear for something that the Shomer has to swear on?
I'm not sure. It's a machlokas whether the Shomer Sachar is more like a Shoel or more like a Sachir. Right.
Okay.
I don't know. All right, finish up. Chol shav shalom kaimu v'sofo. Let's go to that one. If it's possible to do it. Amarav tavla, amarav. Zudiv Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says this. Avach lachamim omrim, alf b'shiyav shalom kaimu v'sofo. V'yisna alav mitchila, so t'nao kayam. But lachamim disagree, and here we have the example. D'tanya. Harei ze kitech almanat she ta'ali lirikia. Amenat sheterdi letahom. Amenat shetivli'i kana shalmea ama. Amenat shetavriya tayama gadol biraglech. Man says to the woman, here is your get, on condition that you fly to the moon with your arms. All right? Guess what? Joke's on him. It's a good get. Nitkayim atnai, hare ze get. Sorry, where is that? Nitkayim atnai, hare. Wait.
It's a
get. It's a get.
If she does it, it's a get.
Ah, sorry, yeah. This is the first opinion. It's kaim atnai, raise a get. Lonit kaim atnai, eno get. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema omer, kaze get klal. Kaze get. That's why they say that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, because the Chachamim, the other opinion in this Mishnah, disagree. And they say that no, even if it's an impossible tanai, it's a good tanai. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says, an impossible tanai.
It's a good tanai.
It counts. It's a tanai that we worry about. What? Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says, it's a tanai that we don't care about. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema is the author of our Mishnah, and he says that if you say to a woman, here is your get, if you fly to the moon, it is not a good tanai, and the get is chal immediately, no matter
what. It would be that. According
to him. No, with your flying.
He rules that it is a get.
He rules that it is a get.
Because
the tanai
is
irrelevant. Tanai
is
batal. Yeah. And Rabbi Meir would say?
Chachamim.
The
Chachamim disagree, and they say even an impossible tanai is a good tanai. It has to be observed.
So she's got to fly to the moon.
If she wants a get.
With the hands.
Okay.
Okay.
So this is just him giving the klal that we saw already in the Mishnah. If you make a tnai that iav shal lakaimo besofo v'hitna la mitchila, so eino ela kamafliga. So here he gives the reason. Why would this not be good? Because when the person says that, you know that the person is not being serious. And the only thing he's not being serious about, apparently, is the tnai.
Is it
an
is it?
That's what he says. V'kasher.
What?
Amar of Nachman.
Maybe he's not being serious about it.
I would have thought exactly the opposite as well, and that's going to be the last thing we do.
It doesn't feel like his intention is to really deal with the
gift. I agree with you, and I think that's going to be the final issue that we have to deal with.
I'll give you the get if you fight some moon. You ain't getting no get, love.
Yeah,
sort of. Exactly. That's how I would have read it as well. I think that's the final and thorniest issue that we're going to have to deal with when we drill down.
Yeah,
Hold on, but how about the fact that he says, I'll give you the get if you fly to the moon?
You mean the fact that it's out of order?
Yes, you can.
It's not what we're talking about right now. I recognize that as well, but I don't think it's relevant. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav. What's the halacha? Halacha Karbi Rebbe Tema, like our Mishnah. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Masnis and Nami Deka. It says in our Mishnah. Diktani Kol Shefshel Lekaimu B'Sofa V'Itna Lamitchilasu Tanao Kaim. Hayefshel Lekaimu Tanao Batal Shmamina. They just pointed out that our Mishnah didn't explicitly say this. Our Mishnah said the inverse. Our Mishnah said that if it's a Tanai that's Efshel Lekaim, then it's a good Tanai. So they say, but you can learn from our Mishnah that we hold like Karbi Rebbe Tema, that if it's Tanai that Efshel Lekaimu, then it is a irrelevant Tanai.
The Maisa stands.
Maisa stands. Maisa always stands. Let's drill down. All right? First issue is back in the Mishnah. Matna liftor mipshia. This is what I was challenging Matthew on. What happens if a person says at the outset, I'll be a shomer, but I don't want to be responsible for pshia? Can he do such a thing?
Yeah.
Comes along the Meiri. Menachem Meiri says, "Return to Lamar Kol Sheyomar Shelo Pasha Yehi Neaman Bekach." Okay, when we say that he doesn't have to take a shvua, what we mean is that if he claims that he was not poshea, we believe him. He doesn't have to take a shvua. That's what the Mishnah says. Umikol Malkom Im Yoda She Pasha O Sheyesh Eidim Chayev Sheino Matne Sheyazi Kenu. But in such a case, where all he did was say, "I don't want to have to take a shvua." If he agrees that he did pshia, or if there are edim that say that they saw him do pshia, then is he going to be chayav?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Mikol mako, im hisnekein al manas liftor, af bezu patur. If he made it tonight that he should be patur from pshia, it works. So the question is, why did the Mishnah not mention this, right? The Mishnah mentioned...
So if he makes a Tanai that he will be Potter from Shia...
Then it works.
Then that means even if he did it and there were Aidin who saw...
Yes, he's Potter from... Yeah, that was his deal. That's what he said he would do.
Okay.
You can imagine many cases like this, by the way. It could be that he didn't even do it on purpose. Maybe he was... Yeah, listen, I'll take your phone, but I have to tell you, I'm doing phone testing. I my job is to throw phones on the floor and see if they break. I'm not trying to break your phone, but that's what I do.
Well, I have a young kid at home.
Yeah. So he says, why does the Mishnah not mention it? Because the Mishnah should have mentioned it, shouldn't it? It was telling you all kinds of tanayim that the shomerim can take, so it should have mentioned. Stamen shel dvarim ein adam masna bekacha, v'derech shomer chinam lahasnos lipater mishvua. Not normal for a shomer chinam to tell the person that he's watching the stuff for that he's going to be poshe, because why would you give it to such a person? Go find somebody else who's not going to make such a tanay. But it is normal for a shomer chinam to try to
avoid
right, to get rid of his liability by saying, if it breaks... you know, as long as I wasn't the one that did it, I don't want to have to take a shvua.
I think it's very common.
Common to what?
To have a situation where someone says, "Will you look after something for me?" I'm
right.
Sure, you can park it in my drive because right. My kids play football here, or can.
So many of those cases could end up being ones, right? Many of those cases could end up being ones. If you were reasonably taken care of, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I can't say I know what the threshold
is.
She is
deliberate.
It's negligent. Yeah. Who disagrees? The Agos Hashri. Agos Hashri is a comment, a gloss on what Sefer? It's in the name.
What's the name of
the Agos Hashri. It's a gloss on the Rush. Rabbeinu Asher. Hagaos Ashri.
Oh,
that's right? Yeah. Hagaos Ashri, Masechus Bamitzia. He says, V'katsav HaRabbeinu Baruch Mi Rigenshberg. Okay, one of the Bali Tosfos. Mi Delo Nakat Gabe. What, did I say wrong?
Sfardi.
It's not sorry. Gan Baruch Mi Rigenshberg. Mi Delo Nakat Gabe Shomer Chinam Lios Pater Mitashlumin Kedektani Gabe Shomer Sachar Mashma Delo Mifter in Pasha Afilu Hisno. So he claims that no, according to this Rabbeinu Baruch, even if you make a tanai that you're going to be pater from Shia, it doesn't work. What would be the rationale here? Why would it not work to make a tanai that you're pater from Shia? Well, think about it for
Shia's
a second.
A crime, basically. I mean,
yeah. Like, what are you if you take somebody's phone and you smash it?
Right.
What are you? You're a mazik.
Right.
You broke his stuff. You took his stuff and you broke it. What does it help that he gave it to you? You broke it. So Rabbeinu Baruch says, you can't make such a tanai. You're a mazik. How do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch says, amal v'al amashkon. If you take a halva al amashkon, right? So now the loveh has the mashkon. The malveh has the mashkon. That's the collateral. U'bishaz kabal as amashkon amar eini mekabal acharyusa alai. The malveh, when he gets the mashkon, says, I'm not going to take responsibility for it. Eino afilu shomer chinam. I'm not even a shomer chinam. Patar afilu mipshia. So Shulchan Aruch says that this, the man says, I'm not even a shomer chinam, pater from pshia.
Yeah, but it even says here that if something down, if there's some damage to them, to the mashkon, then the borrower wouldn't give the money back.
No, the borrower wouldn't have to give him the money. He would have to give him the money.
He has to give the money back, and the guy's damaged.
No, but if he doesn't give the money back, the guy,
he's the broken mashkon.
He has to give the money back.
He needs to find another lender.
The mashkon is not his. The mashkon does not belong to the malveh. He can't just do with it whatever he wants. It's sitting in his house as collateral. If something happens to it,
it says it's potter.
It's on the loveh. Yeah, he's potter, even from Shia.
Really bad, yeah.
Right, but then you could say, I'm just okay.
I'm gonna pay you back.
I'm gonna pay you back. Keep the
collateral. He can't say that.
Yes, he can.
No, he can't.
Watch me.
No, he's chayav. You're saying he's chayav.
He's chayav.
I wouldn't give it back.
But I lost it.
Then the Beis Din would make you give it back. You give back the loan.
You're not damaged
yourself. I need my collateral back.
That was the deal you made. That was the deal you made.
The answer is you don't make the deal.
So the sma and the sma comments, it says nirda filu la rambam v'siatei demechash v'pshiel amazik biadayim leinen shtaru zog dugavase dein beamdim shomrim. If he makes it tonight. Now, I wasn't clear. I'm not sure it matters, but the Shulchan Aruch did say, Einu afilu shomer chinam, meaning, it sounds like he's pater because he doesn't even fall into the category of shomer chinam. It's all semantics. Basically, what would you call a shomer chinam who says, I'm not chayav for pshia? Frankly, I wouldn't even call him a shomer chinam. He's just a guy who's been told to just keep his eyes on the stuff. I would say he's not even a shomer, which you could say. You could say he's not even a shomer. What do you gain by saying he's a shomer? Nothing. Shomer chinam is a placeholder for the idea, right? So you just say the guy, he doesn't have any responsibility towards
it. The offer is that somebody could say something like that, and Malva could say to a lover, I'm taking this collateral, and if I lose it, tough luck. That's okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound so responsible, I'm sorry.
It's not responsible. It's legal.
No, why is it legal? No, I don't understand.
Why is it fair that he has to watch over the mashkon?
Because it's an essence of authority.
He gave the guy, he gave him a loan, he helped this guy out, and now he has to worry about a cell phone sitting in his house?
He has an obligation to give the loan, right?
Yes, he does. Rav Hirsch. Thank you, Rav Hirsch. Yes.
What?
Yes. He does have it.
And the guy who's taken the loan is giving him collateral, he's being a mensch. And the guy who's, like we saw before, like if somebody tries to say that I'm going to do something illegal, Zabatel. So here, somebody's behaving clearly not.
No, but you have to remember that the idea of the collateral is to protect against the loan. If the borrower doesn't pay,
fine, but be so responsible for the collateral.
Assume the lender, it's in his interest to look after the collateral.
Yeah.
That is his backstop if he doesn't get the money back. So it's probably quite an unusual case that the lender says, I'll look after it, but I don't really care for it.
Yeah, if Rav Dani says you're going to chayav the loan, but to get the money back even if...
Yes, but Matthew's pointing out, what happens if you never get the money back?
The only reason collateral exists...
But his point is, what happens if you never get the money back?
The loan is bankrupt, doesn't have...
There's two roles that the mashkon pays. One is that it incentivizes the borrower to give the money back. The other is that it offsets the risk of lending the money.
That's how it should be.
Right, so you have
it's an unusual responsibility.
It's unlikely that the guy is just going to pick it up and throw it against the wall. What is likely is that he just won't be careful about it.
There should be a loophole in that offer to allow somebody to behave like that. It seems wrong.
It's monetary.
I agree with him. It just doesn't sound responsible.
It's contractual. People can contract.
You can make a deal like that.
When you try to do something that is also on the Torah, then that's possible.
So one, the one collateral.
Mashkon is chasher mishpat. It's not your idea.
But you said that you said.
And therefore, it's okay.
Yeah, it's whatever you say is okay. Whatever rule, whatever deal you make is okay. Capitalism.
I got it in Latin in my
What is it in Latin? Caveat emptor, buyer beware.
Of course.
Buyer beware. The problem is that you guys, your British education is severely lacking, so you don't know. Caveat emptor. I learned that in ninth grade.
What, Setter's Paribus?
Caveat emptor.
Okay.
Buyer beware.
Setter's Paribus was an economic side
of it. Vanitas Vanitatum. Right?
Veni vidi vici. Veni vidi vici. Veni vidi vici.
Now you're being rude. Carpe diem. Let's
get on. In the Latin lesson, we started to teach.
Cogito ergo sum. De pluribus unum is, as we say in the States. What?
He said pianissima.
It wasn't me.
De pluribus unum, as we say in the States.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is the issue of Masna Liftor Mipshia, which is a big machlokes Rishonim. Shulchan Aruch seems to pass in like the majority that you're allowed to, that you're able to. How about this Tanai Kodem Lamaisa business? So I told you Rashi's Pshat. Rashi's Pshat was pretty straightforward. We don't really necessarily understand why the rule should be this way, but Rashi gives a reasonable reason, a reasonable understanding, that if you say it out of order, it doesn't work. But what about the Rambam? Take a look at what the Rambam says. Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, aval im amar la'ariyat mekudesh asli b'dinar zeh, v'natana dinar b'yada, v'eshlim atnai v'amar im titni li ma'atayim zuz, tihim mekudeshes, v'im lo titni li tolo tihim mekudeshes, hariyat tnai batel. Ibnei shehikdim ma'aseh v'nasam b'yada, v'char kachisne v'af al-pi she'akol b'toch k'dei dibor, v'areze mekudeshes miyad, v'ina tzvicha liten lo klum. What did the Rambam say? What does Tanai Kodem L'Maisa mean? Or Maisa Kodem L'Tanai? Physically Maisa Kodem L'Tanai. Did you make the Tanai before you did the action? The Rambam gives the example. What happens if a man says to a woman, Hareyat Mugudashasli, gives her the Tabat, and then says afterwards, this is all on condition that you blah, 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 blah. So the Rambam says, that's definitely not going to work. Now, is that reasonable?
Yeah.
Eminently reasonable. Totally reasonable. On the other hand, would you have even have a havamina that it wouldn't work like that? Do you have a havamina that...
The havamina is that if it's all in the same sentence.
Okay.
It's tochkadei, the same
thing. Very good. Now you're ready to answer. Right.
No, the havamina would be if he said the whole thing before he gave her the...
No, but the Rambam says that would work. According to the Rambam,
it
doesn't matter what order he says it in. Order doesn't matter as long as he hasn't done anything yet.
Exactly, right.
So the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid, of course, disagrees, as do the majority of the Rishonim. Lo zu aderech, he says. Ela afilu amar akol kodem amasa ve'achar kach nasan adinar hareya tnai batel. Even if he said the whole thing, before the maisa, and afterwards gave the dinar, the tnai will be batel mishum de lo dami li tnai b'nei gad. Shamru im yavru dahainu im yavru. Right? They say if we cross dahainu tnai v'hadar unitatem, and then you'll give it to us. Right? So he says the same thing as Rashi, although it's funny that he looks at the Bnei Gad of the Bnei Ruvain side instead of the Moshe side. Right? If you look at Moshe, Rashi quoted Moshe. Im Yavru Unitatem. Actually, it is the same. It is the same. Im Yavru Unitatem, but he for some reason, he says Sha'amru Im Yavru. Sha'amru Im Yavru. I don't know why. Okay. Fine. Either way, point is that Moshe said to them, if you cross, then you can have it. This is what Rashi said.
So, under a chuppah, if somebody puts the ring on and then says, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, that would be a problem? Or the action is...
No, Hareyat Mekudeshesli is before they put the ring on.
No, I'm saying they put the ring on first and then said, Hareyat Mekudeshesli, you'd have the action before the Tanai.
That's not what the Rambam is talking about. That's something different. It's a Tanai. That's not a Tanai. You're saying, what happens if I did the Maisa Kedushin and then afterwards said Hariyad Mekudeshesli? So the truth is, I believe that would be Chal anyways, because you clearly are standing under a chuppah, so you have Gilui Das, that the ring that you're putting on her finger is for the purpose of marrying her.
Oh, so one chuppah where you put it on before you said this, yeah. And the rabbi...
You went crazy?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. They like to keep things standard, but my guess is... What?
He stopped the whole chuppah.
Right.
And went back and said, hold on. I'm going to ask you the question again. Is this your ring? Are you sure it's your ring?
Right.
It was really weird.
Right. I'm not surprised.
I had no idea. Now I have an idea.
But no, it's nothing to do with tnai. It has to do with you should say the harayat before you actually do the.
Because.
Right, so that's not what the Rambam's talking about.
It's not the
tonight.
It's not the
Maisa.
The
ring on is
not.
There was no
tonight.
There's no
tonight. It is. No, but the case you're talking about, there was no tonight involved. It was just a matter of whether or not you should say Harayat before you actually put the ring on. I think, I'm pretty sure that, anyways, they definitely would require a get afterwards if they wanted to get divorced. And they hadn't said Harayat Mekudesh Eslei. At my wedding, I messed up. A lot of people mess up. I said Harayat Mekudesh Eslei. Kedas Moshe of Israel, and I didn't say what that was to. And then somebody had to correct me.
You didn't buy the ring?
What?
Didn't bring a ring?
I did, no, of course I did. But I just, I said the line, Harayat Mekudesh Eslei Kedas Moshe of Israel. I was nervous. That's why, I'll tell you exactly what happens. I'll tell you exactly what happens. One second. Exactly.
So now we can.
Wow, that was good.
No way!
That was crazy.
It's good that you pressed stop.
I mean, the bishop
did not. Now, here's where things get thorny for the Rambam. Take a look in the Beis Yosef. Rav Yosef Karo jumps in and says, "Machikatzav Hashem Rambam, Uperk Vav Mehilchas Ishus, Vekatzav Alav Rabbeinu." Rabbeinu here is the Tur. So the Beis Yosef is quoting the Tur, talking about the Rambam. He says, "Veloniira, loniira pilta the pshitai." Obviously, if you were to do it in this way, if you were to give the ring and then make a tnai. Obviously, that wouldn't work. So that's everybody's problem with the Rambam. The Rambam, while it makes a lot of sense, it makes too much sense. Of course that wouldn't work. You wouldn't need the Mishnah come along and tell you that Tnai Kodom LaMaisa is required if what that meant was is that you can't do the Maisa and then make a Tnai afterwards. That's like, in America we call that Indian giving, right? Which is racist. Mm-hmm. Racist. But,
Native American giving.
No, anyways, we were the Indian givers. That's the problem. Who's weak? So Milza Pshita. I was talking to Rashi. Milza Pshita. Klomar. The Rabbi Yosef explains. V'im kein lo ya tzarich shi idnu chacham v'ya tzarich shi ya tnai kodom l'maisa. Kevin the Milza Pshita yishim kodom l'maisa satam ein atnai shayit na'achar kachlom. Basically saying the whole thing is ridiculous. Why would the Rambam even entertain the idea that you would be able to do such a thing? So here we're going to have three different answers. Beis Yosef will give us one, and Bach gives us another nice one, and then we'll see Rav Chaim, and you guys will help me understand what Rav Chaim is saying. Vein zeklum, the Beis Yosef says, the kevin de gamar divrei akedushin hu atnai, sharehu omer reyad mekudeshesli, bazel tnai, kach vekach, afa pishnasan akedushin kodem shiazkir atnai, mikoma kom kevin de dvarim acherim hem bli hefsek. You guys already said this. Rosh Dvarav, Asif Asamich, we connect his words. Va'avale lemeimar, delo chalu akedushin elal oso tnai, ilav de gamrinen, mitnai b'nei God. Unless he messes it up, it will be a good tnai. Basically saying exactly what you guys said, that there's no hefsek, namely that it was toch kedei dibor. The point is that you might have thought that as long as it was toch kedei dibor, even though there was a maisa in the middle, the maisa is not a hefsek as long as you were still talking. And you would read the whole, you would see the whole statement as one long statement, and you might have said in such a situation that the Tanai is Chal. Comes along the Rambam and says, no. Once you do a Maaseh, anything that comes after the Maaseh doesn't count.
Even if it was like one statement, the fact that you did a Maaseh while you were saying it, it's
right. You have to get the Tanai in before you do the Maaseh.
That's Moshe Yisrael, not Tanai.
You said not. I asked you said it's not.
Maybe.
I just asked you. I said,
is
Maisa before the
Tanai? No, Andrew's asking, is the words Kedas Moshe of Yisrael a Tanai?
This comes after the Maisa.
It's the only way to do it.
It's betrothed to me with this.
It's the only way to do it, Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. So,
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense otherwise. If you don't have that, then what?
I don't know.
You're married what?
We just married.
I don't know.
Without all the halakhas of marriage.
I do.
Yeah, make a good effort.
Yeah, all the halakhas of
I don't know. So that's the Beis Yosef's answer for the Rambam. Okay, but then there comes along the Bach. The Bach doesn't like the Beis Yosef. The Bach, the Bais Chadash, is the other commentary on the tour. He lived several years later, 200 years later. Rav Yoel Sirkis, the Bach. He says, Divrei Beis Yosef, he says, Eladim Kein Hadakas of a Rambam, Gabi Megadev, The problem is that the Rambam in other places doesn't believe in Toch Kedei Dibur for many things. For example, the Megadef, person who curses God and then takes it back right afterwards, taking it back doesn't do anything. Now that may not surprise you, but there are other examples as well. He says, for example, V'chein mashkatz v'er gimel mehilchaz abodazara, v'afilu chazar v'otok dey dibur, v'amar ein ze eili, ein chazar v'toklum, v'odazara, you say, I accept this God upon me, and then afterwards you say, no, I don't. Elo niskal, ha'inu nam v'dvar machadim, v'amai lo avi klum, k'shakol dibur echad, why not just say, v'tok dey dibur, he took it away, so it doesn't mean anything. Halo b'tanai de kiddushin lo amar deino klum, elo mishum da'amase kadim letanawa, alma de'i lav haitayma havalei chazar gemura. The Rambam doesn't emphasize the Toch Kedei Dibur, he emphasizes the Maisa. So the Bach doesn't buy the Beis Yosef. Okay? So he has to come up with a different example. So he says, L'chein nira de'ikar l'ha Rambam ein chiluk bein shehu davar echa l'gamre bein sheish hefzeik tzat. I don't think there's a difference about hefzeik. Ela shehu Toch Kedei Dibur. Ela, the sfir le la Rambam dahan l'kaimelen v'magadev uba vodah zara uba mikdash, mukadesh uba megaresh de Toch Kedei Dibur lav Kedei Dibur dami. Ein zel legabe chazara im chozer bo legamre. Aval im einu chozer bo, ala shem mefarish tvav, amina toch di dibor, ki dibor dami, vihokach gabe tnao nami im hisna ima toch di dibor, haya mo'il. The point over here is, I would have thought that toch di dibor never works if you're completely nullifying what you initially said.
You would say it doesn't work.
If it completely nullifies it. However, if it only modifies it, then it would work.
So in other words, if you didn't have anything smart to say, you shouldn't have opened your mouth in the first place, right? So therefore, the tnai only comes along to enable you to correct, to fine tune what you started saying in the first place.
So if you say, "I believe in other gods," no, I don't really. That's a nonsense. Right. He doesn't hold in.
And therefore, he's going to be chayav. The end of his statement goes away.
Yeah.
We ignore it.
Right.
We don't listen to Toch Kedei Dibur. We atomize his words.
He meant something when he opened his mouth.
Right. We atomize his words, and there's a problem over here. Good.
Okay, but the second half is like a qualification of the
exactly.
First part. Right? You realize you've gone a bit too far.
So then, in that case, I was ready to accept Toch Kedei Dibur. But here, since the Maisa came first, it broke up the Toch Kedei Dibur. So that's why I would have thought that it would work. It would have worked. It was this close. Except we have a rule of Tanai Kodem Lamaisa. But it's not really about it. So in other words, it's not about Toch Kedei Dibur.
In this case. But it holds a general principle.
Toch Kedei Dibur wouldn't have helped you in this case. I would have thought that it would, but here comes along the Rambam and says that it won't work. The problem with that is that it makes it very a very rare case. I mean, the whole thing is rare, but it makes it a very rare case where the Maisa comes before you made a modification. Right. Okay. Fine. Then you have Rav Chaim. You guys are going to have to help me with this. There's two Rav Chaims tonight. So he says, "Ha'saga muvuere tekeven dahad be'inan tnai kodem lemaisa ha'yafinan midehiktim im yavru leunitatem imkein hakayzos al hatnat amaisa v'la etzem amasa befal." Okay, that's his question. He's basically paraphrasing the Ravid. Because it was alpia dibur, mimela dali dia dibur shall unetatem nigmar zchiatam beivar yarde. V'im kein havizot gam maase befal. As far as I understand, what Rav Chaim is saying is the following: the basis for the Rambam saying that tnai kodem lemaisa is a violation of bnei gad bnei ruvein is the fact that in the case of bnei gad bnei ruvein, the maisa actually occurred then and there. What was the Maisa? The Dibur. That's the deal. That's the difference. We tend to think that the Maisa over here is them
crossing.
It's not.
The
Maisa is right now Moshe Rabbeinu saying, it's yours. That's what he says. Mimela dalidea Dibur shel unetatem. Nigmar zechiatam be'evar yarden. V'im kein avizot gam maase befoal. It happened right then and there. V'al korcha chashap ernu chalamelef mehadu huktam im yavru l'natatem t'bina t'nai kodem le'etzem ha-maase. In other words, according to the Rambam, he looks at Rashi and everybody else, and it's like, you guys are thinking that it's talking about later, something that happens much later. No, it's happening right now. So in other words, Rav Chaim locates it in the actual pshat of the Chumash. Rashi wouldn't read it this way. Rashi doesn't read it this way.
So take that to our case. That is the
master. No. What he's pointing out, there's more to it, but I didn't understand the rest of it really. What he's pointing out is that the reason why the Rambam is compelled to do this is because of the proximity of the Tanai and the Maisa in this actual story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. It's really right then and there. So what the story is teaching you is that it's a good thing that Moshe Rabbeinu said Im Yavru before he said Unetatem, because Unetatem wouldn't have just been the idea of something that's going to happen in the future. It would have been the actual Maisa right now. That would have been it. That's why it has to be done before. In other words, what you learn from Bnei Gad Meiruvain is don't say Unetatem before saying Im Yavru, because Unetatem is a Maisa.
Yeah.
So that's where the Rambam gets it from.
And if he's the other way around, then they already have it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's nothing to do with the Toch Kedei Dibur.
No.
The third opinion of Rambam. So Rambam has said, Harei HaMekadesh, you've done the Maisa, because it's like the case of...
It's like you said in the Tatem before you said in the Yavru.
It's done before yes. You...
Yeah.
Whereas other cases, we think about the condition and the Maisa is also is not normally happening right then. Yeah. If you do this, I will do that type
right.
thing.
Right.
That's like the normal case.
Right. Exactly. It's like that. You know, actually, I want to sharpen it. Matthew, I think you really hit it. According to, what's the difference between Rashi and Rambam? The difference between Rashi and Rambam is the words unetatem, according to Rashi, is part of the condition. And the masa is what?
Yeah.
Sorry. No. Wait. Let me speak. Let me rephrase that. The words unetatem is masa, but it's part of the dibor. It's part of the contract. That's what I should say. It's part of the contract. We're still in the contract phase. We haven't gotten into the actual implementation of the contract, right? Im yavru unetatem, according to Rashi, is all just one contract. According to the Rambam, no. According to the Rambam, im yavru is part of the contract. Unetatem is already the implementation of the contract. That's the maaseh. So when we learn it from Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, Im Yavru Unetatem, we're learning about the contract and the Maaseh immediately. So that's completely similar to Hariyad Mekudesh Asli and then giving the actual Tabat. That's where Rav Chaim gets it, which is very interesting.
Yes.
Okay, last part is the hardest part because it's the most counterintuitive, right? What would you have said in all of these cases? Tnai Batal, and therefore... I would have said, Maisa Batel. What is a person, if a person knowingly violates the rules of contract making, that should nullify the contract, right? We have a minion or no?
No.
Is there a possibility? No kids to help out? No. Not happening? No, I'm sorry, Mark.
I don't have to home.
Oh. It's 10 o'clock.
We've all got that to look forward.
It's almost 10 o'clock. You know where your kids are.
10 o'clock, you know where your children are.
Wait, I have a question. Did that get the... Masna HaMashik HaZav HaTorah, right? So that's this issue, okay? So we have a few approaches here. First is the most prevalent is Tosos. The Tosos is not on Ardaf, but the Tosos is Exubus. The Re, okay? Rabbeinu Yitzchak says as follows. Do you love the... And this is, you know... it is... the most effective answer, but also almost the strangest answer. It says, "V'omari di lav di alfinim b'tnai b'negad b'nei Reuven, havamina de shum tnai enu b'vatel at hamasa, v'afilu lo yitkayim basof hamasa kayam. V'hashna di alfinim mehasam de mehani tnai levatel hamasa, amrina de dafka k'sheinu masna ha-mashgaj b'tora, adumi de b'negad b'nei Reuven." What did the Re say? The Re basically said, you know why if the tnai is batel, the maisa is batel? Because the whole concept of tnai is a chiddush. Me'ikara, if we didn't have the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, there wouldn't even be the possibility of making conditions in deals, according to the Torah. It would just be the moment you say, I will do this,
that's a
you do
condition
it.
In itself, surely.
What is a condition? How is a condition? I say, I'm going to give you $50, but if I said beforehand, if you run to the end of the lock and back, I'll give you $50.
Any agreement.
At the base level, the havamin of the Torah is, I have to give you $50 no matter what. There's no conditions. I know it sounds strange.
No, but it's ridiculous. No, that's if you have every contract has a side that has two sides, a Kabbalah and a Hatzah. And that's the basis for any contract, is that both sides agree that I want to sell you my car and you want to buy my car. And without that, it's not an agreement. It's like you're just making a sentence.
Isn't it only for Tanai is ridiculous and not fulfillable?
What?
That would apply.
What?
If I say, I'll give you $50 if you fly to the moon, you can hold that, okay, the Tanai is ridiculous, but the $50 debt. But if it's something that's tangible, I'll give you $50 if you pass me the strap.
So the Re says, that without the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, you would always have to give $50.
Why is he saying that? Obviously,
he's a pure halachist. He's a brisker ancestor.
You would learn it from somewhere else. There'd be other tonight in somewhere.
Yeah.
That's what
there must be a reason for
there
it.
There are, right? With Lavan
really
and.
Strange.
Yeah,
there are.
Which is even before.
It's not a Torah. It's not a halacha story.
This is a perfect tonight.
This is a reinvention of tonight. Basically, what it's saying is that fine. You know, this is not what the Re says, but let's reinvent the Re. Okay, the Re says there were tonight, but then the Torah wiped the slate clean when it made up Tanai Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, and now there are no tonight except for Tanai Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. The new version. I'm not sure that he says that. But, okay, so now comes along Rav Chaim, quoted in the Rav Baruch Ber. This I really am not sure I understand. We're going to have to go through it. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the original Grach, going to Rav Chaim. No. So the Birka Shmuel, there's a Rav Baruch Ber, quotes his Rebbe, one of his Rebbeim, Rav Chaim. Says, "Bazeh biyar morinu rabbeinu terutzam shal atosus ha-rashba." So far, so good. All right, now we're in trouble because he used the word chalos. The existence of the tnai, bahamasa, alideisha isnehu leinyan shim, yiskayim a tnai, tiskayim a masa, vimivata al tnai midato, asit batal masa. Okay, so here he inserted a word already. And here the word is. Exactly. If the tnai becomes batel, with your knowledge, with your intention, then titbata lamasa. So to translate it into our cases, if you eat one of those cookies, then I'll give you $50. So if you don't eat one of those cookies, then that's my da'as is now, clearly, that you won't get a cookie. You won't get $50. Avahacha, b'masna mashakasa b'torah, hare lo ya bitula t'nai delo akar hamusna midat, ela da'ide shi'af shar shi'akar dena torah al'idea t'nai. However, if I make a tanai and I say, I will give you $50 if it's mutter for me to eat pig, right? Then what happens? What ruined? What destroyed my tanai? It was the Torah.
Yeah.
It wasn't my dat that destroyed the tanai. It was something that already existed and was there.
That, by the way, happens in Israeli law as well.
What do you mean?
If you try to make an agreement with somebody which is against the Chok Yesod,
but my guess is that the agreement is not Chal, right?
Yeah. Agreement is not Chal.
Which is the opposite of this.
Correct.
That's Mestaber. I understand that. So here is where I get lost. It says Bishvil It sounds like what he's saying is basically what is primary over here? Is it the tnai or the maase? We tend to think that it's a tnai, but he says it's really the maase. And if the maaseh is primary, then maybe you could make a tnai which is immediately null and void, then that's exactly what happens to it. But it just falls away.
But it just ruins the whole, the entire thing.
So he says
thing.
No, because the maaseh is the primary part, and the tnai is only looked at if it's possible for it to actually be useful. Okay, but let's continue. So that's Tosfos. That's the most commonly used explanation for this. The Ramban actually has three explanations. So I'll just go run through them quickly. One of them might actually be very similar to this, but let's see. So I'm in the Ramban, but in the answer. Ikamanda taritz dahachi amela, amanat shetim chalili shloit chayev lecha b'sher ksus v'ona. So he, the first answer is actually to kvetch out. Okay? And by kvetch out, I mean that he's going to reinterpret the situation. What is the situation we're talking about over here? The situation we're talking about is where he says to the woman, Harei mekudeshes li, amanat, that I'm not chayev and sherksus and ona. So that's going to be batel because he is going to be chayev and sherksus and ona because that's the definition of marriage. So he says, really, what he said is amanat shetim chalili shaloit chayev lecha b'sherksus v'ona. V'aitna alav tnai didei d'rachmanachive u'mishum tnao lo matzi lemimchale. This tnai is not his to make, because it's God. Because it's God that makes him chayev, right? It's God that makes him chayev. V'inachinam d'imachle. And it's true though that even though she actually can be mochel, she can be mochel, but that's not what he says. He says, "Shelo et chayev lecha." Shelo et chayev lach. Shelo et chayev lach. If he had said to her, "Amanat shetim chalili," that would be one thing; it would work. But he said, "Shelo tim chalili, shelo et chayev lach." So basically, there he said that I am actually not chayev, which is not true; it's false. Okay, it's like he gives the example. It's like saying there's no ona here when there is. And even though you can be mochel on ona, it doesn't work. He really kind of just described it. Didn't really give an answer there. He does give other answers, and you know we'll jump to his. His answer, all the way at the bottom, he says, "V'li nira tama dekol masna amashkos b'torah detana batal." Is the Ramban? Dekol tnai dekaakar le'lamasa lav tnaahu. Any tnai which would uproot a maaseh is not a tnai. Shkevin shama avanat she'en la'chalai areyad v'kadesh li'chalu kedushin shematzu makom lachul sharei efshar li'izkayim a tnai shelo yiten la'sherek susvona v'kevin shachalu lo chalu l'chatzayin she'en ishas l'chatzayin v'lo dami l'shar tnai shelo niskayim v'sherek kedushin b'teilin. Basically he says, in a fight between a tnai and a maaseh, the maaseh wins. So imagine, the man says to the woman, Arayad Mugadesh is libet abazu, however, on condition that I'm not chayev sharksus and ona. Let's say we want to listen to both sides. We want to say, what does he want? He wants to be Mekudeshes and not to be chayev sharksus and ona. So we say, that's impossible. That can't happen. So now we have to pick one.
You're either not Mekudeshes.
Yes.
Or you're Mekudeshes and you have to do all the
obligations. Exactly. You're either not Mekudeshes or you're Mekudeshes with no obligation. So we have to pick one. Truth is, flip a coin.
With obligations.
Truth is, you can flip a coin. So the coin is always flipped to that side of the maaseh. All right? Now, Rabbi Meir gave an explanation for this working sometimes. He said, mafliga. He says the person is just, he's being bombastic about it. Now, we would have read that as bombastic, you know, he's not being serious. But here, it's read as being...
We read into it that he wants the maaseh more than he doesn't want the obligation.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. And he thinks that this is the correct answer.
There's no concept of intention. Because the intention is if you deny, then you wouldn't have...
There is one afternoon. Rabbi Rosner, while giving a show on the staff, so he said there's a Tosfos Rush. who says that the explanation is similar to the actual opposite case. What happens if a man is supposed to divorce a woman, right, and he's refusing? So what's supposed to happen, if the Beis Din judges that he's really supposed to, so then we hit him until he gives the get, right? What? Exactly. So the Rambam says, how can we do that? So he says, because every Jew has a Yetzer Tov that really wants him to do mitzvos, so we're hitting him until he actually starts to listen to his, to destroy his Yetzer Hara so that he wants to give. So the Tosfos Rosh says similarly over here, that if we're not sure what the person's intention was, and he's just, you know, mafliga badvarim, so we say, every Jew wants to do mitzvos. It occurred to me that there's a big nafkamina for that. What happens if at the other end is not a mitzvah? That's very good for Ariyam and Gudesh to be Tabazu. But what does it mean, for example, for the Shomer Chinam? For Shomer Chinam, if we didn't hold, like, if we didn't have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir's explanations, what would we have said then?
The master probably falls away without the condition.
Right? Yeah. I would have said, according to the Tosfos Rosh explanation, I would have said that there's no Yetzer Tov that makes him want to be a Shomer like that. So he has to do that. Anyways. Shkoyach. Marv.